We gather here today on the second Sunday in the season of Lent, anticipating the Holy Spirit being poured upon us. Father, we are ready to experience you and worship this day. Let us worship this morning. Before the that study starts in 2 weeks. Today is also the final Sunday in February, and it is the deadline for our two mission projects during this month. The first mission project, thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity in giving so many food items that we will be transporting to the Salvation Army this week for our food collection. We are overwhelmed at the door, literally overwhelmed with how much food you have brought in, and I know this will go to make an impact in our community in the coming weeks. Also, today is the deadline to contribute towards the love offering for Carson and Laura Fushi. Carson and Laura are CPF missionaries in Japan, and we have currently raised over $600. And I want to thank you for your generosity, but it's still not too late. If you would like to contribute an offering towards that love offering for Carson and Laura, please get that into the office by tomorrow morning so we can send that money to them. I will give an update on Carson and Laura. I received an email from Carson late Thursday night, and he was saying thank you for all your prayers and continued support of our ministry. But he also wanted to share that our church was actually featured in one of the international articles that he was interviewed about ministering in the midst of the pandemic. Our church, along with two other churches in the Southeast, were mentioned about our unique approach to ministry during the COVID approach, specifically our providing technology for some of our homebound and senior adult ministers so they can minister virtually at this time. So if you read Japan, you can read the article. If not, you can translate it, put it right into Google Translate, and it'll read it out for you. But Carson wanted to let me know about that. So thank you again for your support of them. We pray for Carson, Laura, and Ada as they continue to minister overseas today. As we do gather here today, I do want to update you on our worship plan for the month of March. If you received your newsletter this week, you will see that schedule outlined there. But just for this morning, I do want to let you know that for the next two Sundays, March 7th and March 14th, we will continue just with our virtual worship service at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live. We want to thank you for your participation in joining us in this type of worship. Then, on Sunday, March 21st, is when we plan to return to our sanctuary for worship. That will be at 10 a.m., that worship service for March 21st and March 28th, which is Palm Sunday, will be at 10 a.m. Every service will continue to be streamed live on Facebook Live, so if you choose to watch it that way, we encourage you to do so. But we will be returning to the sanctuary if you feel comfortable and safe in doing so. However, there are a couple stipulations about this. Contacting the church office in advance the week before by Thursday at noon so we can know how many are coming for that worship service so we can properly social distance. There were some additional things. I read those details in your newsletter, but we look forward to gathering back in the sanctuary in a couple weeks on March 21st for our continued worship service. Last but not least, I want to remind you that we are in the process of raising funds to redo our parking lot here at First Baptist Elon. And I want to thank you for your generosity already in advance. We have currently raised over $67,000 towards that goal. Our goal is $115,000. And if you notice in the newsletter, it gave you an update about how much we've raised, how much has been pledged, and how much more we need to go. And we know that many of you are still prayerfully considering supporting this ministry. The deadline for donations and pledges, we just want to know if you're willing to donate towards this project, is March 31st. And we're quickly approaching. We'll be turning the calendar tomorrow. So if you prayerfully consider supporting that ministry, please let us know by your donations before March 31st or by just letting you know that you're planning to pledge money towards that project. Our hope is to be able to move forward with that project in the near future. But thank you for your generosity in advance. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we experience the Holy Spirit through worship. Let us sing praise to God. Let us lift prayers to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be moved by the Spirit in worship this morning.
Our opening song this morning is In Loving Kindness Jesus Came. Let's stand and worship together the words that are behind me on the screen.
Thank you.
go to scripture this morning and read our opening scripture passage, which comes from Psalm 112, verses 1 through 5. Think about the words. Read these words. May they dwell in us as we think about the praise we are called to honor God with, but also what He does for us on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. As we think about what we're called to do, not just in worship on a Sunday morning, but every single day that we are honored with life from our God, let us go to the Lord in prayer and how we can live that out each day. Radiant God, You are the vibrant light that leads us to life in all its fullness. You are the light that takes the harsh sting out of fear and uncertainty, and You are the light that helps us in our choices, our options, and our priorities in life and living. Thank You for calling us to worship this day, taking us by our hand and leading us in the direction of trust and confidence in Your unfailing kindness. Teach us in worship this day, Holy Spirit, about what it means to live with our brothers and our sisters in peace, contentment, and service. We offer this prayer this morning and our praise to our God for Your infinite kindness and love. In Jesus Christ's name, we lift this prayer this morning. Amen.
Our next song this morning, you will recognize the chorus of the song. The chorus, you will recognize the tune of Blessed Be the Time. And so sing along with us. And the verse you probably have never heard before in your life, but it's a catchy tune.
Oh,
I'm going to take my mask off so I can breathe here.
You got this one on, Jerry?
On April the 17th, 2021, that is a Saturday, Lifeway is hosting a simulcast, which is for women. It's a day filled with practical Bible teaching with your favorite authors, where women just like you and I come together to pursue Christ. We can come together to know Him more. Whether you watch with friends at church or in a small group, or in your home or at church, wherever you want to watch it, you can watch it several different places. We'll be joining others from around the world for a full day of worship in God's Word. The speakers are Lisa Harper, Jackie Perry, Kelly Minter, Ruth Simmons, Jamie Ivey, and Christy McClellan. The MC is Angie Smith. The worship leaders are Austin Stone Worship and Point of Grace. The event takes place from 9:30 to 5:30 that day. And I would like for us, if we have enough people interested, to host it here at the church on that Saturday, April 17th. We don't know the exact cost yet, because it would be depending on how many people we would have signed up to do it. So if you're even in the slightest interested in that, please let us know by next Sunday, March the 7th, so we'll see if it's worth us doing this or not. Thank you.
Further your kingdom as they spread your word in Japan. Help them, Father, to minister in all ways possible safely. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bert is going to sing a song called Thank You. And in this song, it talks about giving to the Lord and how generous people are giving to the Lord. And you saw pictures at the beginning of the service that Sally posted up on the screen. Carson and Laura Fushi, and you heard David talk about how much that has been given to them, and you saw pictures of the foyer where y'all have given so much food for Salvation Army and how much food's been given. And I just want to say thank you for giving to the Lord and giving to all these charities. And also there's a picture that Sally has back there on the screen of that you gave money for the DVD ministry and the TV-DVD combos that we've given to several shut-ins so that they can watch this service each week. Thank you for giving to the Lord and giving to our shut-ins. Without your generosity, Burke for our beautiful special music this day. Ray Bolt's classic.
Yep.
Heard that many times before. Beautiful song. As we think about those words today, as we think about the opportunities we have to give to God, and today focusing on the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, let's go to the Lord in prayer, lifting up confession of when maybe this past week and the previous weeks we missed those opportunities, praying for opportunities to come together and unite in God's Spirit. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to pray that we will be subject to your rule and authority and no other, obedient and ready to do whatever is good. Check us so that we do not slander or speak evil of anyone. May we be peaceable and considerate and willing to show true humility and courtesy to all of humanity. Free us from foolishness, disobedience, and from being deceived and enslaved by dark passions and pleasures. May we have victory over all malice, envy, and hate. I pray that we will have a humble gratitude for you, to you, for causing your kindness and love to appear in Jesus Christ our Lord, for saving us because of your mercy, and for generously and richly pouring out on us the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Savior. May we always be grateful that you have saved us through the washing of rebirth, through regeneration, and through renewal by the Spirit. I claim for us today your promise that having been justified by your grace, we are now heirs of the hope of eternal life. Please teach us to avoid any foolish controversies or arguments or quarrels about unimportant spiritual matters, Father. May we remind ourselves to recognize that such quarrels are unprofitable and useless. I pray that we ourselves this day will be careful to devote ourselves to doing what is good so that we may live fruitful lives for you to help others with their urgent needs that they have. We lift this prayer on this day for your kindness and for your grace. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we want to say good morning to you and thank you for joining us for worship this day with your family and friends at First Baptist Elon. We look forward to gathering together in just a couple weeks, but we still are united through the Spirit of Christ as we gather for worship this day, whether you're watching this right now at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, or you're watching this Sunday afternoon, or Monday or Tuesday, or whenever you're watching this, know that the Spirit connects us all. He brings us all together. My prayer is that your family was spoiled this past week with 65-degree weather, sunshine for 3 days, and I think it's actually supposed to be close to 70 today. I know my family was spoiled, but and that is just a glimpse into what the spring weather that is hopefully coming very soon. And I say that hopefully coming very soon, and I'm pretty sure that we have some amens when I say that as well. This morning, we are continuing our sermon series, Bringing the Fruit in 2021. When I began this series 8 Sundays ago, my challenge for you and for myself and our entire congregation was to try to make a tangible difference in the new year of 2021 by living out one of these fruits, and hopefully by the end, all of these fruits of the Spirit on a daily basis in our daily walk with Christ. I'm going to confess this morning that there are some days it's a lot easier to do it than others. And that's for me as well. I'm not saying that for anybody else, but I know for me, there are some days where it is easy to live out the fruit of the Spirit. But then there are some days that I don't want to see fruit at all. And I don't want to produce fruit at all. My guess is you might confess the same thing. Yeah, the visual images of these fruit that sit on our communion table this morning serve as a motivation to do better each day. I know I've been going through my mind, thinking about the fruit as they sit there and what each fruit represented, and what not just what it represents, but how I can live out that fruit in my daily life. I hope this visual will help you this morning, as well as not just a reminder, but a motivation and an encouragement each day to live a life for Christ. Now, this morning we have turned our attention to the next fruit, the fruit of kindness. And I will confess this morning that I was struggling to decide on which fruit to include as the fruit of kindness. Maybe a lemon. Nah, that didn't work. Maybe a kiwi fruit. Nah, I don't think so. Not for kindness. Maybe something completely off the wall like a coconut that I saw in the grocery store this week. And then I thought to myself, well, how did I crack a coconut? How do I make it look like it needs to be? So I didn't go with a coconut. And as I was standing in the grocery store trying to decide, I was standing in a good perception anytime. You can literally be overwhelmed by the options that are there. And that's what I was experiencing this week. I was like, what am I going to choose? And if you don't know what you're going to go into that produce section, picking up, it becomes increasingly overwhelming. You can even talk to Garland or Judy Tickle and talk about the stress I was having because I ran into them in the produce aisle when I was in the grocery store this week. Then I began to think. I began to think about all the individuals in my life from when I was young to now, how old I am now. I was thinking about all the different individuals that have shown kindness to me. Now, the names and faces are unlimited, but the ones that really stuck out in my mind, all of these individuals were different ages. They're not all the same age. All of them had different personalities. If you talk to them, and the settings were all different, the circumstances in life in which I encountered these individuals. Each individual, no matter what the outside looked like, had one thing that was their center. It's one thing that connects them all. That was this inner softness. Now, notice I didn't say outer softness. I said an inner softness, a gentleness that led to their acts of kindness. Now, you can probably think through your minds of many individuals in your life that did the same thing. The thing about kindness is the outside did not define what was going on in their life on the inside. So, as I was standing in the grocery store recalling these, and I'm sure I got some strange looks from some individuals, I decided to choose a fruit that I'm not as familiar with, and maybe you're not as familiar with as well, but from the outside, it's not very appealing, and that is the papaya fruit. You see, on the outside, when you look at the papaya, the ones that are uncut this morning, they just kind of look green and bland and kind of blah. But once you cut into a papaya, once you cut and slice into it, you see on the inside vibrant colors, a softness, a sweetness to a fruit that is literally loaded with nutrients that have dozens of health benefits to our life. The papaya has powerful antioxidant qualities. Did you know that papaya also is an anti-cancer fighting agent? Did you know that papaya helps with inflammation? Did you know that the papaya can help improve your digestion? Did you know that papaya can even protect your skin from damage? And that's just a few of them. I encourage you to Google it and see everything that this fruit does. From the outside, it won't look like it. It doesn't look like that. But from the inside is where it truly matters. Despite its outward appearance, the papaya delivers kindness and love to the human body. The same could said about the fruit of kindness. You see, kindness endures the ridicule that is often said is a soft quality for individuals. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit, kindness, delivers powerful, loving actions and words. So my question to you today is this: how is kindness pouring forth out of your life today? How did kindness pour out of your life this past week, providing not just temporary benefits, but everlasting benefits to humanity? That's the power of the fruit of kindness. Let's take a look at one of Paul's minor letters this morning, one of his epistles that he wrote, to see what we might learn about this impactful fruit on life. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, verses 3 through 8 this morning. I'll give you some time to find it. It's a small letter. It's not one that we often dive into very often, but it is has some key words about this fruit of kindness. The words will be displayed on scripture, worship screens behind us if you want to follow along this way. But a little bit of a background about this small epistle written by Paul. It's very similar to the letters that he wrote to Timothy. Paul is writing this letter to a young church leader serving God by organizing and overseeing some of Paul's early churches. Titus was Greek by heritage, and it's believed that he came to his faith in one of Paul's early missionary journeys. And after he converted to Christianity, Paul had then sent Titus to the island nation of Crete as a special representative to the churches on this island. Our passage this morning actually comes at the end of this letter. It's a very insightful letter. I encourage you to read the letter when you have a chance in full. It probably won't take you 30 minutes to read the whole thing. But these words that I read from this morning come at the end of this letter to Titus. And the thing about it is, when Paul wrote his letters, he always had a very general opening, always had a very general ending, and the meat of the letter is in the middle. But when he concluded his letters, he often focused on some key points that Christians, or in this case, this Christian leader, should hold true to their heart. And that's where we find these words this morning. Reading from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. I think the first thing that we can draw from these words written to Titus many years ago is something that we have approached when we've talked about each previous letter that we have written, we've talked about, that we've discussed and examined. All the previous fruits, just like the fruit of kindness, to truly understand that fruit, to understand kindness, we need to look to God first. Now, and that may sound simple, but how often in times in our life do we often depend on ourselves first? And then we'll go to God next. But the key to living out the fruit of the Spirit, the key to living out the fruit of kindness, is to look to God first for how it truly is revealed. How would you define kindness this morning? Is it simply being nice, polite, or caring? You know, Yes, kindness is that, all those things, and many, many more. It may be easier to understand this fruit of kindness by identifying what some would consider its opposite, and that is sternness. That's right, sternness. Think about it this way. Kindness is a smile. Sternness is a frown. How many of you would rather encounter someone with a smile than somebody with a frown? See, understanding some of these fruits, we have to look at the opposite. Kindness is in what Paul is saying. He's displaying a picture of kindness. He is talking about kindness and the impact that it has. When we encounter someone who is kind, who is smiling, guess what it leads to us doing? Smiling. It's hard to be stern around someone who is kind. Either you've been on each side of that relationship, right? I know I have. Listen to these words again. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Think about it this way. Like a beautiful flower that pokes out of a field of weeds, God's kindness appears to us in the midst of sin. Our sin. Not someone else's sin. Yes, theirs as well. But our sin. Like a flower in the midst of a field of weeds. It stands out. It makes a difference. Paul emphasized that our sinful nature is true for each one of us, but that same kindness that God and Christ showed us is still there. Yet, God's kindness to us sinners is truly marvelous. I think we sometimes overlook it sometimes, but it is truly marvelous. Let's put it in a different way. We used quite a bit of pictures this morning. Let's put it in a different way. We are advancing in our technology age, right? All of a sudden, everything is going technological. Robots have been employed for distribution, engineering, manufacturing, even medicine. What would you do if a robot that was designed to work on your car, instead of fixing the issue, ruined it? What would you do? Let's go to the next step. What about you went in for a medical procedure and a robot was there to fix a problem, but instead made it worse? Would you go pat it on the back and say, good try, great job, I am so thankful for you? No, we toss the robot onto a junk heap. We get rid of it. But does Christ do the same for us? Does God do the same for us? God did a marvelous thing when He puts up with our sin. Just as the robot who does the opposite of what it was intended to do, humanity has done the exact same thing. But you don't see Him throwing us on a junk heap. That's God's kindness. That's God's kindness incarnate. Now, the Greek word for kindness here in the letter to Titus, the one that Paul is using in his passage, is the word krestos. It's krestos. Now I emphasize that E for a second, because many of us don't speak Greek, and I don't speak Greek regularly. I can read it a little bit. But krestos sure does sound like another Greek word that we're familiar with, right? Let me spell that again. krestos. That sure does sound like Christos, right? C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, which means the anointed one. And I'm going to be completely honest. In Greek, Christos and Christos is no more similar in the language than when we say live and love. There's no connection there in the language. How Hestos and Christos, when they are understood in the first century, and for first century Christians and non-Christians alike, they seem to be in the same thing. Did you realize that in the first century church, many non-believers, and when they were just finding out about this new emerging religion that were called Christians, that they literally said that Christians worshipped Christos. They worshipped kindness. C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S. And we might be thinking, boy, they missed the boat there. That one letter completely changes everything, but does it really? But does it really? When they said early Christians worshiped kindness, isn't that what we're called to do? And we think about who Christ is. Christ is the human equivalent. He is God personified kindness. That's who Christ is. We look at Jesus' life. We see that kindness is more than just a smile at a stranger. It is doing something to benefit another. Let's think about the Good Samaritan for a second. The Good Samaritan is the perfect example of someone who's living out Christos, living out kindness. The Good Samaritan showed kindness by going out of his way to take care of a stranger who was hurting and in need. The other two, you think about the Levite and the priest, on the other hand, showed indifference. They showed sternness when they walked on by. Jesus told this story, the Good Samaritan story, to emphasize the need, our need, to show kindness in this world. But there's more here in the scripture than just that. Paul then reveals how we're called to show kindness to others on a daily basis through tangible words and through tangible deeds. Look back at verse 8 for a moment. I want you to stress these things. And he's talking about God showing kindness to sinners. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Excellent and profitable for everyone. Living a life of kindness, rooted in the Spirit, is excellent and profitable for everyone. It's excellent and profitable for you. It's excellent and profitable for your family. It's excellent and profitable for your coworkers, your neighbors, your fellow students, complete strangers. It's excellent and profitable for everyone. Humanity profits when we tangibly show kindness in our words and our actions to those around us. Are you dispensing kindness on a daily basis? Alternatively, is there something you only do? Is this something you only do? Is kindness something you only do when you're in a good mood? It's not easy to dispense kindness at difficult times in our life. When we're running late for work, to get to work or to get to an appointment, to get to school, whatever the case may be. When we're running late, kindness, throw that out the door. At the end of the day, when we are extremely exhausted from the day and the stress of that day, the work, the responsibilities that we have, the rigors of the day, let's throw kindness out the door. Nevertheless, Paul says, and Christ showed, that we are called to do good and share kindness all the time. Now, maybe as Christians, we should ask ourselves each morning, how can I make the day better for everyone I meet today? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How can I make the day better for everyone that I experienced that day? Maybe that's what we're called to do. Maybe every morning that should be what we wake up to. If we just start the day with that resolve, with that statement, maybe it will help us overcome those moments in our lives where we're just saying, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I can't show kindness. Maybe it's frustration with a coworker who didn't do the work you thought that they were going to do. Or frustration with their children when they do not take care of their daily responsibilities. Or on the other side, maybe it's frustration with our parents because we're having a pending argument about our current curfew or loosening restrictions, whatever the case may be. Instead of slipping into our selfish ways, which is what really that is, instead of slipping into our selfish ways, maybe we should slip into kindness. Maybe that needs to be our go-to. Instead, a state of sternness. We must not forget that we are constantly having the Holy Spirit poured into us in a generous measure. Literally poured into our beings and our souls by that relationship that Christ founded for us. Just as we are drenched when we enter the baptismal waters, when we are drenched, we are soaking wet, we continue to be drenched by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. He is poured on our hands so we can help others. He is poured on our lips so that we can speak words of encouragement and smile instead of frown. Most importantly, He is poured into our hearts so that the kindness that we are called to show is genuine and from the heart. It's not fake. It's not false. It's not put on, because that's not what the Holy Spirit is. God wants us to show that genuine kindness, and we do not think deserve it, is what we're called to do daily. Kindness means being keenly aware of the needs that are going around us. Family members, friends, neighbors, teachers, students, co-workers, and those we encounter in the community every single day. We are not to be passive or careless to those needs, but instead we are called to meet them where they are with kindness. And guess what? God is providing those divine moments in our life. Think back this past week. Think about all the faces that you encounter. Even in the midst of COVID, we encounter faces. Think about all the faces that you encounter this week. Did you see them as divine moments provided by God? Think back to those individuals you met this past week. Did you lift their day with kindness? Closing this morning, poet Adelaide Ann Parker, who lived in the 1800s, poet during that time period, penned these words that speak to our need to walk with kindness and the result when kindness is not shown. Listen to these images expressed through her words. "It isn't the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone that gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun. The tender word unspoken, the letter you did not write, the flower you might have sent, dear, are your haunting ghosts at night. The stone you might have lifted out of your brother's way, the bit of heartfelt counsel you were hurried too much to say. The loving touch of the hand, dear, the gentle and winsome tone that you had not time or thought for with troubles enough of your own. These little acts of kindness, so easily out of mind, these chances to the angels which even mortals find, they come in nights of silence to take away the grief when hope is faint and feeble and a drought has stopped belief. For life is all too short, dear, and sorrow is all too great to allow our slow compassion that tarries until too late. And it's not the thing you do, dear, it's the thing you leave undone that gives you the bitter heartache at the setting of the sun." As we think about those images painted many years ago by the poet, I think we can probably look back on this past week and capture some of those moments as well. We live in a world in need of kindness, without a doubt. Nobody can debate me on that. We live in a world in need of kindness. So don't let your outer exterior, your outer shell, like the outer shell and skin of the papaya fruit, keep hidden the benefits of kindness that we are ready to share. You'll be amazed at how it changes not just your life, but the lives of the people around you.
Going back to those two Greek terms that we
looked at before, let us be like our Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, in sharing our Christos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O-S, with the world. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we recognize that there are times in this past week where we have dropped the ball, that we have missed it, that we haven't seen encounters as divine design that you have put us through. And Father, we're sorry for those times we've missed. May we wake up each day with that mantra, how can I make those I encounter this day in my life better? Father, whatever the mistakes or the missing opportunities we have this week, we also recognize that this week ahead brings us many more opportunities. May we be ready. May we see them through your eyes as what they are, divine encounters where we can share your kindness with others. Father, we have a world that needs kindness, a lot more kindness. So much quarreling, so much fighting, so much despair. What a world it would be if we blanketed it with kindness. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Christos, who showed us what Christos is. Amen. As we come to our time of invitation this morning, maybe there was something I spoke today, maybe for the very first time you recognize where the true source of kindness is in our world. That it is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And maybe today is the first time you've recognized that, and you need to turn your life over to Him. Turn your life over to the One who embodied kindness and showed us what it means to live by. If that's the decision that you have to make this morning, I encourage you to contact me this week. Don't put it off. Contact the church. Email me. Text me. Give me a call. We'll talk about it. Talk about how life is changed through Christ's hands. Or maybe today you're seeking a church body that is seeking to live out Christos, live out kindness in our world on a daily basis. This is the church home for you. You just saw a few of the pictures. Those are just a few of the pictures of the ways that we're making an impact in our community. How are you showing kindness? Maybe you need a body of believers that is continuing to do that on a daily and weekly basis. Our doors are always open. Or maybe just today, you recognize that you've been living the opposite. Sternness, way too much. You've been living with the frown. And like we've told our little children, turn that frown upside down. Maybe kindness is what we need to be living. You know, find opportunities this week. Wake up each morning seeking to live that out. Turn your life to Him and see what kind of change that He can make. As we sing our closing hymn, whatever decision you need to make this morning is there for the making. Don't put it off. Make it today. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. world today. Find those opportunities created by God to show kindness. Make a difference in someone else's life, and you'll be amazed at how your life will be changed as well. Go in peace and carry those kind hands.